And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio. Proudly sitting in for the great Al Gordon. I'm Mike Harrison. I've been a member of Lifestyles Unlimited since 2013, but I began as a real estate investor in 2011. All by myself, tried to hash it out, didn't really know what I was doing, just hammering through it, slugging through it, still made a 9% return on that single family property. I'd purchased it in a self-directed IRA, didn't know any better, but that's where my money was, and that's kind of how I thought the game was played. I was a Dave Ramsey guy. Boy, I sure didn't know what I didn't know, and I was humble enough to join Lifestyles Unlimited, get educated, and really just an eye-opening experience of how to properly invest and create cash flow, create passive income, create wealth growth, exponential wealth growth, much better than anything I'd ever tried in my life previous to that. And I don't want to say, if you don't have any passive income, that's why we're here, to guide and teach you step by step how to effectively purchase and invest cash flowing real estate, literally buying your life back one small bite at a time. And I'll tell you this, when you're old, when you can no longer work, passive income in your life at that time will be vital to your well-being. But in the meantime, today is a great day. It is a wonderful time to be a real estate investor. Day two of sitting in for Al. Let me tell you, this seat is hot, but Al's out there deserving some well-deserved, enjoying some well-deserved R&R, and we'll be back soon. I'm going to say something, and I want you to think about this through the entirety of today's show. If you want to live the life that others don't live, you have to be willing to do the things that others won't do. Keep that in mind. I'm going to do a deep dive on a step of the multifamily purchase, and there's several steps to a purchase of a multifamily apartment community. It takes, start to finish, I want to say 90 days, but typically it's a little longer than that, especially if we get into the phase of identifying properties, the phase of when buyers meet with their financial team and put together a game plan of just how much how much they can spend on a property, where they're at. But the due diligence is one of the steps. It comes in after a letter of intent is essentially accepted by a seller of a multifamily property. And we've touched on the subject, but we've never done a complete hour to this. And I've done this on my show. I wanted to share it for Al's audience. But a couple of weeks back, I participated in a due diligence with some lead investors, Lifestyles Unlimited members. They asked for volunteers, and about 30 of us joined their team to help them come do the due diligence. I want to share that process with you. But what is due diligence? And like I said, it's just one of the steps, okay? And I'll get into the nuts and bolts of it. But in a nutshell, due diligence really is a confirmation of value. It's really the ability of a buyer to justify what they're going to spend on this property. And it works like this. Apartment owner decides that he or she, or they may be an investment group. Anyway, the decision is made. They're going to sell their multifamily apartment. At that point, they're going to contact a commercial real estate broker, somebody who specializes in multifamily real estate. We talk about all the time here, deal with people who specialize in what you want to do, not generic, over-the-top, run-of-the-mill, but find specialists in what you want to do. So the real estate broker team, typically it's not going to be one person. It's going to be an entire team, and they're going to meet with the owners of this property. They're going to review the property. They're going to look at the lease file. They're going to look at the P&L statement, what we call a trailing 12. They're going to look at the trailing 3 and see, is there any alarm bells here, any considerations? They're going to look at the sale opportunity, and together the team and the owners are going to say, we can market this property for X, and we believe we can get this price, okay? doesn't always come in at the price they want to offer it. Think about it. These people are getting a commission and the owners have an interest in selling the property for as much as they possibly can. A lot of times market conditions will dictate just how far they can push it. But at that point, they'll then market the property and they'll say, hey, we've got, they often call it a whisper price. Hey, we feel you can purchase this at this price. And it's a tight group to even get into these circles with these folks. But they'll throw it out there and there'll be potential buyers. There's typically several of them that will show interest and communicate desire to buy after their internal review. Okay, we haven't reached due diligence yet. This is kind of an internal review. It's a review of the market conditions. What are other properties in the area leasing for? What's the cap rates in the neighborhood where we're buying? Is this place on the upswing? Is it on the downswing? What are the economics of the area? There's a lot that goes into this, okay? I'm not going to go into all of it, but there's several offers from groups of buyers, okay? It's not always the same price. You know, buyer group A is willing to buy at this price. Buyer group B is willing to buy at this price. And all these buyers submit what they call a letter of intent, okay? Letter of intent sounds very serious. It is. Hey, we want to buy said property, and here's basically our estimated price that we're willing to spend on this property. Okay, keep in mind that's going to be worked out. But anyway, they're going to submit. And the first thing the seller and the real estate broker, the seller's broker, are going to do is they're going to filter through buyers. Okay, but they've got to get in there first. They got to look in and say, hey, is this property what I think it is? All right. They've got to do a deep dive. They've got to check everything. And it takes a team of volunteers to do that. It was an all-day process, all-day affair. And we were there to review everything, my friend. Lease audit, financials, bank statements, true occupancy, right? There's occupancy on paper. There's true occupancy. There's financial occupancy. We'll explain a little more on that, but this is done visually, okay? We want to see that the proof is in the pudding. We're going to inspect what we call the big five, right? The roofing, the electrical, the plumbing, the foundation, the HVAC. We need to know the functionality of this property because we are best product, best price, run by the best people. We are not slumlords, okay? We're not going to, if we buy a property and 37 HVACs don't work, well, we're going to build the cost to put in 37 new units into that property, right? We want the best property for the best people. So that means we need to fix everything and we need to create a capital X and we need to see if that can incorporate into a purchase price and an investment plan because we're not doing this for charity. We're doing it to get a return, right? We're doing it to improve the property, improve the value, provide a great, clean, functional place for great people to live. We walked every unit, okay? Stick around. You're going to hear more about how that went. And I know in your mind you're thinking, oh, every unit's crazy. No, I'll tell you, actually, the majority of them are clean, neat, clean as a whistle. Do we have the occasional one that you may need to see a psychiatrist after walking through? No, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but yeah, you'll see everything when you walk an apartment unit, okay? But back to the process. The seller and broker team select a potential buyer and they'll accept their LOI. Mr. and Mrs. Buyers, we accept your letter of intent. Now the clock starts, okay? Basically, the buyer's team are in the option period. And I think those of you that have ever sold or purchased a home, right, to live in, there's an option period. There's a time when you can get your inspections in, check it out, maybe renegotiate with the seller. But there's a time period because after that time period, boom, timer stops and your option money. And let me tell you, you put up a few hundred when you buy a single family property. You're putting up several thousand when you're buying multi-million dollar properties. It's very important during that option period to get in there and inspect what you expect. Okay, is this what I think it is? If it's not, what's it going to cost to fix this right? So, boom, put together a team, and we got in there to look at the apartment. Now, the reason we need to look at it, apartments aren't sold on a per square foot basis. Okay, your house is sold on a per square foot basis. If your neighbor, everything in your neighborhood's 200 to 225, when you sell your house or when you buy another house, you're probably going to be buying it in that 200 to 225 area, right? All houses in a certain neighborhood will average out a per square foot price. Not so. An apartment community is actually a business. Okay, and so it's valued. You can have an apartment mirror image, exact builder, exact same year, exact materials on a piece of property separated by a sidewalk. One's on one side, one's on the other. And apartment A may be a $10 million apartment, and apartment B may be an $8 million apartment. And you may say, well, Mike, how is that? And it's because apartment A is probably better run. They're getting a little more rent per unit. There's maybe less CapEx, and apartment B was the slumlords that just let it run into the ground, leased it to anybody. People tore up the place. It may have some serious issues. So it's the income that you're bringing in, and you put that with what we call a cap rate, a capitalization rate, and we determine the value that way. That income, we call it net operating income. So we use that and the capitalization rate. It's a simple way to measure basically a return on investment for a multifamily property. You can Google it and read more about it for you math folks that want to understand this. But essentially the formula is cap rate, all right? And cap rates are determined by neighborhoods and by areas. Capitalization rate, that's going to be net operating income divided by property value. We could use this formula essentially as a check and balance to see if what we're spending on a property makes sense. I'll give you a quick example. If a multifamily property generates $100,000 in net operating income per year and is worth $1 million, okay, say someone's selling it for $1 million or they bought it for $1 million, it's generating $100,000, then that's a 10% cap rate. Now, the higher the cap rates typically points to more risk. A lower cap rate indicates a lower return. So your class A apartments, your really high end, super nice, good economy, well built, highly occupied, are typically going to be very low cap rates. Whereas you may have one that's really rough, man, it's got issues, and you may get a 7, 8, 9, or 10 cap rate in there. But the opportunity is greater when the risk is greater, if you know what you're doing. So the buyer typically knows the cap rate formula, and they obviously know what the seller is selling the property for. What they need to do is get in and determine that NOI. Okay. Seller, just because a seller tells you, hey, we're making, $1 million a year on this property, you can't just believe that. You need to get in there and look at the books. Are you really making that sort of money on the property? I need to see the leases. I need to understand what's going on. Where's the income coming from? You say you're 95% occupied, but when I do the walks, I see that there's X amount of units that are empty. You're not 95% occupied. Little things like that. It's just a check and balance to understand. So you got to look at the rent rolls, the financials, the leases, exterior walk of the property, every sidewalk, every property and fence line. Check the roofs, check the electrical, check the foundation, the plumbing, the sewer. Nothing worse than buying a multifamily property and building 12 has sewers that suddenly start backing up 90 days later. You're going to have some upset residents. Well, if you had scoped the pipes before you bought it, you would have known that the sewer line in property 12 was cracked or it was impeded by tree roots, things like that. You got to look at it. You got to look under the hood. Parking lot, clubhouse, trash, dumpsters, laundry, on and on and on. Understand the condition, understand the repairs. We're going to get in the nuts and bolts of the due diligence as we go further in the show.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Pre- creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mike Harrison. We're doing a deep dive into the due diligence phase of a multifamily purchase. Now, during due diligence, really what you're doing is confirming what you think or believe about the property and whether the price is fair being offered by the seller and whether it makes sense for you as investors to pursue it further, right? They may be selling a property. Let's say someone's selling a property for $5 million. They tell you everything's great. It's 95% occupied and you get in and the roof needs to be repaired. The sewer lines need to be redone. And you find about $1.5 million in CapEx requirements for the property. Chances are you're going to walk. But if you don't look at that stuff, you're going to get taken to the cleaners. And you have an obligation, one, to look at it. You're an investor, but especially if you're a lead investor, a syndicator, you have an obligation to those that are going to pour their money, hand it over to you. And they're basically trusting you to invest it properly. And due diligence is such an important step. This is where you either find it or you don't, right? This is where the mistakes can be made. But all in all, you're typically just justifying the opportunity that you've discovered. And I participated in that due diligence with some great lead investors. I've known them for a long time. About 30 of us volunteered. We all met at the property early that morning, and it was an all day. But we want to understand what repairs need to be made. But I don't want to just blanket it. If you go in and it's a property that was built in the early 80s and they still have original carpet and appliances, in our mind, do we know, we're going to need to put in all new appliances and all new carpet. However, that's not a day one thing, okay? We need to do this in segments, in an order, in an evolution of ownership and spread these repairs out as the units turn. One, we don't want to spend every dollar we have in CapEx immediately. We want to improve the property. We have a plan of improving the property. So really what we want to know is what repairs need to be made immediately, right? Is there a stair missing that's going up to the second floor and you know, there's some elderly people that live up there. That's a safety issue. Somebody can get hurt. Is the light on the pool is, you know, is it safe or is it electrifying the water in the pool when it turns on? And I know I'm exaggerating, but there are certain repairs that are safety issue that need to be addressed immediately. Smoke detectors, that's an easy one. A lot of the units we walked, I was quite amazed at how many broken smoke detectors there were, or quite simply where the resident had disconnected the smoke repair. I asked a couple of them, hey, I noticed your smoke detector's not there because I didn't see it sitting anywhere. It's just, I just see the case on the ceiling there. Oh yeah, it was beeping, so I disconnected it. You know, it's not my job to say anything. I'm just there to, you know, in and out in 5 minutes and get an idea of the unit. But in the back of my mind, what is something we see about once a week on the news? Apartment fire. I mean, it starts in unit 37 and ends up in unit 17. And along the way, probably some folks didn't have smoke detectors. That, especially if you got kids, man, you all got to get the heck out of there. It's not the fire that starts in your apartment. It's the fire that starts in the apartment next door. Smoke detectors are a day one thing for new buyers, at least Lifestyles Unlimited buyers, the way we do it. It's a day one deal. It's non-negotiable. Look, if the battery's beeping, call our maintenance team. We will have that fixed today. Immediately. It's a 9-volt battery. Come on. But anyway, just things like that. But as we're walking the units, if the dishwasher works, refrigerator works, oven's functional, we're good. You know, this is not an immediate concern. But if I walk in and the toilet's broken, immediate, right? So I'm noting that as we're walking through. But let's get into these unit walks. Let's get into the why. Why do we walk every unit? Some people out there may be saying, well, Mike, if it's a 100-unit property, you can walk 25 and a quarter of the units, and then you can just kind of take the math and push it out from there, right? If you walk 25% and you find this much in these, you can expect to find that much in those. Now, we need to see every unit. Number one, back to the financials. Is it occupied? Is it vacant? If it's vacant, is it rentable? Okay, we need to answer those three questions. If it's occupied, then they're in unit 17 is occupied. There's two people in here. Okay, we note that on the paperwork. Lease needs to say that there's two people when we go check the paperwork. If it's vacant and we go back and it on the books, it says, no, unit 17 is occupied and paying rent. Right? No, it's vacant. Condition, can we rent this immediately, right? Is it move-in ready? Or is it all torn up and the maintenance team has salvaged appliances from this unit to use in other units? Just what's the condition, right? Again, sellers may claim that they're a certain percentage leased. We want to see that, right? If it's a 100-unit property and they say, hey, we're 95% occupied, I don't want to find any more than five vacant units, okay? Food for thought, just so you understand that. Now, back to occupied units. How many people are in each unit, okay? No one's ever moved in somebody. This has never happened. Hey, I'm going to get the lease because I have good credit, and my bros can move in, but they're a lot of fun, and they'll just pay me, and we'll live there. No, that dog doesn't haunt using the Lifestyles Unlimited model. So if I walk in, I see three beds, three toothbrushes, three areas of items, maybe three dudes sitting on a sofa. I'm going to pretty much kind of note occupied three people, right? Again, we're only in and out of this thing for 5 minutes. It's quick. But every person needs to be on a lease. Very important, okay? We need to know if they're over 18, they need to be on a lease just to understand who they are, and we could do that background check, right? We don't want the habitual criminal moving in with grandma suddenly and living there. That's a danger to the other residents. It's a danger to the people, the management team that work on the property. So there's a safety concern. Next, do they have pets? If so, how many? There's a lot of people in apartments that for some reason think it's okay in a 900 square foot apartment to have three cats and two dogs. All right. I don't think it's fair to the animal to leave them cooped up all day when you're at work. But look, to each their own. But if there's five pets in there, we're going to note that on the paperwork. And then when we go back and compare notes, are there five pet leases, right? Do the owners currently even do pet leases? If not, the new buyers are keeping that kind of in the back of their mind. They're like, well, there's a money-making opportunity. There's 200 pets on this property. There's only five pet leases. Immediately, we can engage the residents and go, hey, new owners require a pet deposit. Maybe they require pet rent. All kinds of things you can do with that. Also, what is the general condition of the unit? Okay, again, we're really doing a structural check. Is the appliances functional? Is the tub functional? Toilet? How's the flooring? Carpet need to be replaced? Yes or no? But what is the condition? Is it clean, neat, tidy? Like I said, a lot of them are. You will walk in some and they are an absolute biohazard, okay? Food everywhere, dirty dishes stacked up. Imagine the worst of the worst, like literal food on the ground, pet dirt on the ground, on the walls, litter boxes that looks like they were changed 6 months ago. At the best, you might walk in and there's 17 bags of trash. I'm not exaggerating. You may walk in and the person's a hoarder. And it's typically, I'll tell you, as a Lifestyles Unlimited using the model we buy, and I'll do my best to maybe explain this, but we're looking for deals, okay? If someone's selling a property for, say, and I'll just pull a number, $12 million. All right, say we found a multifamily property and they're selling it for 12. And during due diligence, as you're justifying it, you may say, man, this thing's, just like I thought, it's really worth about 15 after, say, 18 months of work. We can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And I'm seeing good things here. I'm seeing good opportunity. If you had good management and some improvement in these areas, this would be a great investment. So that's usually what our due diligence, just kind of to get in the mind of kind of what we're looking for and how we think. And there's various items that we look at to justify that opportunity. For instance, we are doing a lease audit. We are doing a financial audit. And we may go in and confirm, indeed, their average unit rent on the property is $900. But we've done our market research, and our buyer broker, right? You have a seller's broker and you have a buyer's broker. Our buyer broker has done all the research and has the paperwork and the spreadsheets and says that the other five apartments that are within 2 to 3 miles max, or even across the street or in the same neighborhood, their average market rent is $1,200. And these properties have all been built around the same time. They're all, say, let's call it a Class B property built in the mid to late 80s. And everybody else is getting $1,200, but this one, the average rent is $900. That's an opportunity. Okay, that's an opportunity for a good business team to go in and say, well, why is it that they're at $900 and not $1,200? It's typically bad management. To justify a $1,200 rent, you have to give the resident of the property a reason to pay $1,200. Okay, if you get in and the pool is green and the landscape's torn up and the appliances are very dated and very old and the HVA, the AC doesn't work worth a darn, well, that's going to justify $900 rent. If you had improvements, then the consumer, right, our resident, our client, the person that we want to live at our property, they're going to go, man, I'm not going to live there. I'm going to go live over here. It's nicer. They got newer carpet. Stuff works. And yeah, I know I'll be paying $300 more in rent, but that doesn't, I want a comfortable place to live. Some people just go, you know what? I'll take the 900 and this stuff doesn't bother me. Okay. So we're walking the property. Again, we're doing pets. We're noting pets on our checklist. All right. Very important. And we might find that there's 200 pets on the property, but only five actual pet deposits or even pet leases on the books. That's an opportunity, okay? This is counterintuitive. Someone may, from the outside, be going, well, Mike, that's a bad thing. They're not noting what's on it. They'll go, hey, we're buying this for a reason, okay? That is a financial opportunity. We need pet deposits. Yes, pets destroy properties. Guess what else? People love their dogs and cats. I love my dog. Every dog I've owned, I've loved them like a child, okay? Love them. Grew up with dogs my whole life. If I'm going to pay $20 for my best friend to live with me in my apartment, guess who's getting an extra $20? The lease, the people that are managing the property. So pet deposits are real. They work. But it's also a way to track, all right? We don't want alligators on our property. Let me tell you where I'm going. When I lease a single family home, there are actually, I can't remember, it's either 7 or 9 breeds of dog that my insurance company has said, Mike, your insurance is void if you have any of these breeds. Okay. And we all know who you can Google the 9 most dangerous breeds or what have you. But it's legit. So, yeah, you've got a nice dog and you love your dog and the Cocker Spaniel's awesome. Great. We'd love to have Scrappy here on the property with us. You got a freaking man-eating, face-peeling-off pit bull. I don't think I want that dog on my property. I don't care if he tears your arm off. I don't want him to get Mrs. Smith next door, okay? But you can't have that on my property. So we need to see the pets. A lot of our lead investors, they'll have their management team actually do a pet interview. All right, you got a pet? Show me the pet. Let me see it. You know, people always tell you how sweet pit bulls are, but they're like corporate America, man. They're great until the nanosecond they're not, and they'll go off on you. So not to go off on pit bulls, but just to explain why we want to understand pet deposits and how many pets are there. We may find 20 units are just people living in complete, absolute filth. And you will see some of that. And I'm talking about weeks of pet deposits in the unit. The smell hits you as you go in. Trash, bugs everywhere. Again, somebody from the outside may say, well, Mike, I'm walking. I would never buy a property like that. I'm like, no, 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 no. This is another opportunity for the buyers. What do the buyers need to make this property better, especially if it's stated? They need empty units, okay? If the occupancy is really high, let's say high 90s, what they don't have, the capital they don't have is an empty unit to improve, right? I'm going to take this $900 unit. I'm going to put in all new carpet, new paint. We got to cool motif on the design. It's hip. It's got flow. We're doing a two-tone paint. We're doing the stainless appliances. We're doing new refrigerators. We're going to do granite countertops. This is now a $1,200 unit. What I need is, if I've got the person that just lives in complete filth, I need them gone. Okay, now how do I do this legitimately? And I don't want to sound cruel here, but you go, hey, Joey, man, we did the unit walk. You know, we're new management, new team. Dude, you cannot live like this. This is a lease violation. It is a fire hazard. Here is your warning. We're coming back in 30 days. If you don't clean it up, we will fine you at that time. You will pay your fine or you will be evicted. Remember, fines and fees pay before your rent. Okay, don't tell me you can't afford it. We'll have that discussion, but it's going to be $150. 30 days after that, we're going to check again. If you still haven't cleaned it up, we will begin the eviction process. All right, that may sound cruel. This is a business, but look, it's an obligation. The person living there has an obligation to live like a human being and keep it somewhat clean. All right, I'm not saying you have to be Mr. Clean perfectly, but you can't have 16 bags of, you know, months and months of trash. You can't have hoarding stacked up to the wall, fire hazard. You can't be disconnecting your smoke alarm because you're smoking something in there, and I don't care what you're smoking, but if the alarm's going off, maybe smoke it out on the patio. Things like that. So that's an opportunity for the buyer. There may be a huge green area. I love a lot of these 80s builds apartment communities because they offer something that you don't get in apartments today. And that's a lot of green space, a lot of space between the buildings. You can do a lot as an owner. Again, we're trying to provide value for our client, right? How can we make this better? Best product, best price. I need to go from $900 per month to $1,200 per month, preferably $1,500 per month. How can I dress this up? One of our leads, a friend of mine, he would buy Class C properties but he would put in Class A amenities. Okay. You would walk in the clubhouse. Keep in mind, Class C property. Now he's going to go in and fix everything, cool paint scheme. And he said, Harrison, I like all five senses to be engaged when you walk into my office to potentially lease a unit here. I go, what do you mean? He goes, look around. I can hear like a hint of classical music in the background. I can smell. I said, man, nice coffee bar. He goes, that's not a coffee bar. That is a mocha bar or whatever. But he didn't use the word coffee. And the smell hits you and you can go over there and make a coffee. He tore out the back wall in his big cool glass open area overlooking the swimming pool that he completely redid with travertine, just gorgeous motif on the inside. It smelled good. It looked good. It was bright. It felt good. And it sounded good. Now, if you're just an everyday person and you can move your family into a place like that, that's well lit, it's got cameras, the parking lot's neat, clean, there's no trash, you're probably going to lease there. And it worked. So again, we're providing an opportunity so that we good people will pay more for a good place to live. Okay. So if you got huge green areas, you can put in a dog park, a dog wash, some community areas, some grill areas. You can have speakers, outdoor speakers with Bluetooth that the residents, they're like, man, I'm gonna chill out and cook a couple steaks this afternoon, drink a few beers, Bluetooth some tunes or Bluetooth the game out there. Good times, right? We want to provide a great place to live for great people. If you're buying the property and the pool is in disrepair and green, that's an opportunity. On and on and on. So due diligence is a confirmation of the opportunity. Does this make sense? Is it a good deal? What do we need to fix in the first 30 days? What is a plan we can implement over the next 180 days? So we want to understand what needs to change and put together a plan. And then the lead investors are going to decide if this is a good opportunity to purchase and continue that purchase opportunity as we go down. We had a great time. And as we did so, we remembered it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you. you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.